Well, thank you, Pastor. What a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord this evening and to see many of you whom I have known now for several years, I suppose, and maybe to meet some that I haven't known all that long and maybe some for the first time. But I really appreciate your pastor and his kindness inviting us to come to the meeting. I appreciate all the good music. I appreciate the good testimonies. I appreciate the prayer time that we've enjoyed this evening. God's goodness and grace in protecting us and getting us here. And the hope and anticipation in our soul of what God is going to do this week. I was talking to a gentleman who's preached in this church today. We had a little matter that we needed to talk about. And so as I spoke with him, I told him to pray for me because we were coming over to this church for a meeting. And I really sensed that the Lord would help us this week. And that's the only reason I am here. I'm not here, of course, number one, I couldn't impress anybody. But I'm surely not here for that. And I'm not here to try to show you how much I know, because I don't know all that much. But I want to help. If there's any way in this world, Pastor, that God can help me help you, that's what I want. Our churches, I can't say much about this church. I don't know a great deal about it, except every time I come, the Lord blesses my heart as we worship together. I can say that about it. But as far as what's going on, your pastor, if he knows anything, he hasn't relayed it to me. And so I feel just good and free to preach. I went once to a meeting in Georgia, and the pastor set me down the first night and told me everything that was wrong with everybody in the church. And it seemed like every time I came down on anything, I was looking at that individual. And so, that's the way it seemed. And so, but anyway, I praise the liberty, praise the Lord for the liberty he's given me to try to be a help and a blessing to you. You sure have and are. You have been a blessing to me, and you are a blessing to me. I appreciate Brother Harvey coming over, and we fellowshipped all the way over here, and we'll probably fellowship all the way back, but I enjoy that. Good, sound, Bible fellowship. I don't know how Christians can do without that. I just don't understand that. Okay, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, and Brother Harvey has heard me preach from this very text like yesterday morning, but you're not going to hear what I preached yesterday morning. You're not going to even hear what I preached before. Okay, I was sitting back, I don't know, when I was in this, I've preached six or seven messages, I suppose, to our church from this passage, and I'm not going to try to preach them all to you tonight, but I have, because it's so loaded. There's so many things in here. And when I was studying this and making these notes, the Lord put it on my heart where I should preach it. And it was right here. So I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to follow him because the Lord knows what every one of us need. He just knows that. And we can surmise and we can come pretty close sometimes, but a lot of times there's other things. And I trust the Lord will help me as I endeavor to help you in this matter. So we are in Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to begin reading at verse 9. All right, Hebrews 4 and verse 9, and we will read down through verse 11. And if you would, just keep your Bibles open because we want to be looking back at some of these things and then some other passages in Hebrews as well. So we read together, "There remaineth therefore a rest to to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I want to preach this evening on the rest worth laboring for. So will you pray with me now and for me? Father, I thank you so much for the great blessing you've poured out upon my life and allowing me to be in this service. I thank you for the good music by the congregation and by the young people and the testimonies that have been given and the good season we enjoyed in prayer. I thank you once more to be standing in this pulpit, a place that where I know the Word of God goes forth service after service. Thank you for Pastor Sexton. Thank you for his family. Thank you for his love for you and his love for his people. Now, Lord, help me. I'm asking you to help me that in no way I will hinder anything you want to do in this church. I need your power. I need your strength. And please, Lord, that you would bring back to my remembrance the things I have studied and meditated upon in this message. I do ask my prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. The rest that the apostle is writing about here is a rest worth laboring for. Now, I'm not speaking about resting in one's labors. But as our text points out for us, there is a laboring in order to reach that state of rest. We have never seen a time of unrest as we're seeing today. Politically, economically, and you can run it right on down the line, socially, and God help us, ecclesiastically, our people in our churches. Now, I want to say, if I was asked to find something that I thought this church would need, I doubt seriously that I would select this. But we live in a time when the very people of God are at a state of unrest. Now, when we are restless in our life, as a Christian, it is so easy to make wrong choices. And it is so easy to slack up in our life as a Christian. I do believe we are nearing that shore. And I believe if there's ever a time we need to pick up pace, it is this time. But Satan, through the restlessness that's going on in many hearts and lives, it may not be, and I'm sure it isn't, in every member of the church's life, but you will have to admit, if you're around people very long, those who go to church, you sense they're in a state of indecisiveness. They are restless. I mean, it just seems like no matter what the man of God preaches, it just does not fit the bill. It just does not meet the need. And we've never seen a time that people are here and they're there and they're running to and fro to try to find something that's going to satisfy them when God has offered us a place that you and I can arrive at and rest in this restless society. Now, in this chapter, there are at least five kinds of rest given us. There is the rest of creation. There is the Sabbath rest. There is the rest of Canaan. There is the rest of consecration, or the rest of service. And then, of course, there is the rest of heaven. But along that line,
There are at least three rests in the scriptures that God has provided for the believer. Now, number one, there is the rest of the past. Jesus Christ went to Calvary 2,000 years ago and laid down his life that mankind might be redeemed. And when we came to Christ, repenting of our sins and putting our faith in trust in what Jesus did in our behalf, how that he was the perfect sacrifice and the perfect substitute, how that he paid the price that God demanded for our terrible sins, and I'm resting in that. I am not laboring one ounce in my life to try to improve on what he did when he went to the cross. I am resting, amen, my past, hallelujah, is taken care of. Amen. Christ took care of all of it on the cross. All right, now we may enlarge on that in just a bit. But then there is a rest regarding the future. That rest is fixed. Amen. I'm not sending up two befores to build a mansion. Amen. Jesus, amen, went away to prepare a place for us. I am resting in what Jesus said he was going to do. There is a heaven. It is sure. And we who are saved are going there. Now, the ladies tonight sang about Satan and all some of his work that he's involved in. He would try to take the joy out of heaven. He would try to convince you and I that there was no such place. But I assure you tonight, there is a heaven. I've been by the bedside of those who in a few hours were going to cross that river. And I've heard what they have seen. And I've heard what they have heard as they've related all of that to me. I tell you, there's heaven. Amen. I'm fixed in the past. That's taken care of. Amen. I'm fixed in the future. That's taken care of. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got just a little problem, amen, with the present. Now, you see, in the future, Abraham looked for a city. And Jesus went away to build that city. And John has already seen that city. And some of the saints of God have moved into that city. And when Christ comes again, his bride are going to live in that city. Amen. That's fixed. That's taken care of. But oh, as they say, in the meantime. Somebody told me they were listening to Brother Lester Roloff read the other day and said he read across where it said in the meantime. He said that's where we are. And that's about right, isn't it? Amen. Boy, I'm so thankful for the Lord and what God has given us in this life. Now, look at this present, because we read in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Now, he's writing to save people. Now, you know what's going on with the Hebrew believers who have been converted out of Judaism into Christianity. And they're being pressured heavily. When we come to chapter 10, they are suffering. They've been made a gazing stock. And they're suffering affliction because they will not return unto Judaism. And the apostle is saying, hey, I want you to know something here. There's a place you can get. Amen. There's a rest. Now, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But there's a rest. God has a place prepared for you to get into. And then he says this, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Amen. Work to get to a place of rest. That's what he says here. Amen. Almost sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? But it is not. Remember what our Lord's words were? In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's verse 28. Now that is the rest of salvation. Jesus said, you come to me all burdened down and carrying a heavy load of sin. I'll lift that off of you. I'll give you rest. Amen. Do you remember that day when it seemed like the whole world was lifted off you? When you surrendered your life and will to Jesus Christ. And then, but verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And ye shall find rest. There it is again. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. And then he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that has to do with the rest of consecration. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. Taking that yoke upon. He said, and that yoke of sin is heavy. It is burdensome. But he said, my yoke is easy. Amen. And my burden is light. And all of us who are saved tonight by the grace of God surely can testify to that fact. Now, if you look with me, please, here in verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. And I'm not going to read all of this, but let's look at a little of it. A promise being left us of entering into his rest. Now look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. And so what we're finding here, that this rest is presented as a gospel. It is good news. It is glad tidings coming from God. Even in the wearisome trails that we travel at time, and the burdens that all of us have to carry so off in this life. Jesus said, through the word of God, there is a place that you can arrive and you can rest. You don't have to let the things of this world burn you down and trouble you. You can get in this place serving me and consecrating your life to Jesus Christ. Now, this is a rest from striving through believing. If you witnessed any strife or striving in your life, isn't it terrible that people who say they are the children of God, striving against one another, amen, strife going on in your heart, but this place of rest, it is a laboring. It is a resting from striving. How are we going to get out of this striving that's going on in our lives and in our hearts to this place of rest? We do that by believing. We believe God. What God has said in this book is right. Whether we understand it or whether we do not, it is right. Now let me give you three areas quickly and we're moving on. Number one, strive not to improve on Christ's work. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need it held up. Hey, amen. He doesn't need anything added to it. You're going to hell, sir, if you were to die, you know you're going to hell. Well, I really hope I would. I'm doing the best I can. Well, just quit doing the best you can. Amen. See, religion says do. Salvation says done. And so that Christ's work, he did it right. He doesn't need mind your help. So strive not to improve on it. Amen. You don't have to butter up salvation. You don't have to. I've heard all kinds of invitations. Come, give your life to the Lord and get rid of all your burden. Hey, you might get rid of sin's burden, but you're not going to get rid of all your burdens. Amen. We're going to have every man shall bear his own burden according to Galatians chapter 6. That's exactly right. So strive not. Quit striving. Try to improve on God's work. work. You can hear so many things. Of course, you don't. You're good, sound Bible preaching, but it's terrible what's going on out there. Amen. Trying to make Christ work, to improve on it. Strive not to make God's promises any truer. Amen. You don't have to stretch it into something that God didn't say in order to try to use it as an enticement to bring someone to believe. Just, amen, rest in what he said. Amen. He never has lied, and he's not about to now. Strive not to make the word more meaningful. It's amazing sometimes. It almost seems like... For some, the Word of God's not powerful enough. It's not strong enough. So we're going to have to put some force behind it. And we're going to have to sharpen it up a little bit so it'll cut better. Hey, it'll do its work. All you and I need to do is to wield that sword. God will see to it that His Word accomplishes what He has set it out to do. This worldly system is merciless and it is selfish. The world society will have what they want regardless of what it costs somebody. I think about all the selfish teenagers, what they put their mom and dad through emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially. And probably spiritually as well. Because many of these things, do they not, my brother, work on our spirituality. Amen. That's exactly right. And so they want it. They want it. And it does not matter what it costs somebody. They want it. And they want it right now. You perhaps have maybe have run across somebody like that. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. We can break. God has made us wonderfully, but we can break. Now, I've talked to two preachers recently who before were down on a lot of people who had emotional problems. One just said to me last week, I had this concept, oh, you're bored, huh? You have no problems. Follow me around. That'll take care of it. But he said, I've changed my mind. We can break. And everybody that at one time was running full steam ahead that seems not to be involved in the race any longer is not because of some sin they've committed. Maybe they've had a breaking. Now listen carefully what I'm going to say right here, lest I be misunderstood. Pill companies, psychologists, and psychiatrists are having a heyday. Now, if you think for 1 minute I'm against taking medicine, look a little deeper. Because I will take it. Before I'm going to sit around and be a big boy and suffer a headache all day, I'm going to take me a pill. Now, I don't care what you think about me. I'm not against taking pills. And if I had a situation bodily, a disease or some other infirmity, and the doctor could prescribe me some medicine, amen, I would take it. I'm not talking about or talking against you taking medicine. And I know one preacher that was preaching, and he said, I'll tell you what your problem is. And you know, they do that pulpit cussing, you know, bless, you know, and he said, I told what your problem is. He said, you need to throw them pills away and get right with God. Well, she did. She threw the pills away. You know who I'm talking about, Brother Harvey. She threw the pills away, and the next 2 days after that, the husband came home, and she was down on her all fours like a dog walking around in the house. Now, I'm not belittling. I'm saying all that I'm saying all that to say this. I'm not belittling taking medicine. But I'm telling you, because of the unrest that's going on in many people's minds, if they somehow could get here. But the problem with so many, Pastor, is they will not sit under a Bible preacher and let somebody tell them what's going to help them. They think everything you say, you're against me. You don't like me. And you're finding fault with everything I'm doing. Hey, there's a lot of things fault ought to be found about, and it ought to be pronounced. I mean, what's his goal in life? Just to be sweet, Wayne? Stand up here and have everybody adore him? Every time he preaches, sugar's running out of his mouth. I mean, is that this man's goal? If I'm missing it somewhere, because I've had too many conversations with him about his concern for the deep things of God. I'm telling you, we can get into this place that God has for us. Amen. I'll get there after a while. We can get there. I want you to know it's available. And we do not have to let the devil toss us around with unrest. There is a place. You and I can get. Will that solve all your problems? Possibly not. But it'll help us through some situations. Asylums, you that are acquainted with the medical field, asylums, hospitals, and prisons, Brother Mike, are housing a whole lot more than is necessary. Why? Because people cannot live with themselves, and they cannot live with others. I was praying for a family right over there, brother. Thank you for having that prayer. God gave me liberty to pray for a man. He can't get along with anybody. You know what I said to our church not long ago? I said, it looks to me like, and I said it to our church, I said, it looks to me like that to these people who can find no good in anybody ought to realize there is a possibility of something not being exactly right in their life. They can't live with anybody. Can't. A man said to me not long ago, called a man's name, and I know him very well. He said, two different men told me the same thing about this one man. They don't like anybody. Boy, wouldn't you hate to live like that? That you didn't like anybody? No matter what anybody done, it was not right. And if it was slanted in the direction of the right, it was not right enough, not done well enough. Lord, help us. There is a gospel here. And this gospel is rest. It's a good news. Amen. And the devil is tossing and throwing the people of God. If we can get in this place of rest. Now, we can enter it. We can experience it. And we can enjoy it. It's a pacifying rest. God rested. He's pleased. Did he not? We can enter into that rest. Isn't that what our text is saying? Is God pleased with what Christ did? Did he not sit him down on his right hand or the throne of God? Which that proves beyond any shadow of a doubt. This is my beloved son. Did he not thunder from heaven? Amen. This is my beloved son. Did he not say again, hear ye him? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Sit down, son. You've done it all. And God finished his work, looked upon all of his creation and said, it is very good. He's pleased with it. So he sits down. Jesus comes down, gives his life a ransom for many. God raptures him back into heaven, sets him down at his right hand, and says, son, I'm pleased with what you've done. And he's resting. God's in resting in his work. Amen. He's not creating anymore. The law of thermodynamics, whatever that is, proves that there's nothing else being created in the universe. Why don't the evolutionists smoke that in their pipe? They can't deny that. Nothing else. You know why it isn't? Because God said it's good enough. He's the creator. And so the Son, he pleased God in everything, and so God set him down. He's resting in his. That's verses 9 and 10. Now hear that. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. The same rest that God is pleased, God is pacified. Let us enter into that rest. Now, let's look at 7 pleas that the apostle makes here in connection with that rest. Chapter 3, verse 1. All of these, there's 4 or 5 sermons here, and I'm not recapping. I mean that. I'm not recapping what I preached at our church. I'm giving you something the Lord gave me late last night, early this morning, throughout most of the day. But look at verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider." That's the first plea. Consider. And then I want us to look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice. That's number 2. So we're going to consider. We're going to hear his voice. Then look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts. That's number 3. And then look, please, also at verse 12, where he says, take heed. That's number 4. And in verse 13, but exhort one another daily. All right, that is what? Number 5. And then look at number 6 in verse 14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, hold fast, he is saying here. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, that is 7. Please, the apostle makes with the people in connection with this rest. Now, I want us to look at 4 prerequisites that the apostle makes in order that we might enter into that rest. Okay? Now, watch with me, please. Number 1. Watch number 1. You see, the Hebrews were in a state of unrest. Number 1, we must. Now, we're talking about getting in that. Number 1, we must resign to the will of God for our life. There isn't a person in here tonight but what God has a will for your life. From the youngest, these little ones up here that all you can see is the top of the head when they were standing here behind this banister. God has a blueprint for their life. He has a will for their life. And so we need to resign for whatever that will of God for our life is. Now flip with me, please, to chapter 10. I'm going to do my best to stay in Hebrews tonight. In chapter 10, I want us to look, please, at verse 7. Then said I, this comes out of the Psalms. The psalmist is writing prophetically of Jesus Christ. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So, firstly, we must resign to the will of God. Jesus said this, I do always the things that please him. Jesus could say, when he is faced with sorrow, when he is faced with suffering, when he is faced with denial, none of these things took Christ by surprise. He knew it was going to happen. Amen. He was around when the prophecy was written concerning all of these things. He was faced with betrayal. He was faced with crucifixion. And in that room that night, here are 12 men. Most likely, well, I'm sure Judas by now has been dismissed. So there are 11 men and Christ. And Christ says to these men, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Here are 11 men. Fearful. Christ is going away. Let not your heart be troubled. If anybody should have had a troubled heart, looks like, Brother Budden, it would have been Christ, doesn't it? I mean, he's going to die on tomorrow. Amen. They're going to come in the garden to arrest him. Peter's going to deny he ever knew him 3 times. And all the disciples are going to forsake him and flee. He's going to be left alone. But what does he say? The peace, fellows, that's keeping me right now, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. My soul, what a Savior we have. Hey, you can't get in a condition that he does not know where you are and what's going on in your body, what's going on in your mind. Call on him and say, Lord, you've been here. You know, you remember my frame. You know my frame, Lord. And I'm no more than dust. Will you help me? Oh, man, you'd be a... Well, most of you know that already. But what God can do. Now, why could Jesus say that? Because he was in the Father's will. It's amazing what we can say when we're knowing we're in his will. It's amazing the bravery, preacher, we have when we know we're in his will. It's amazing at the comfort we can get, no matter what anybody else thinks about what we're doing, if we just know we're in his will. Oh, I'm so glad God convinced me that I was to preach. If he had not, I would have quit a long time ago. But amen, there's one thing that keeps me going. I know I'm doing what he called me to do. And that'll help you stand up against a lot of fire. It's going to come your way. There's no questioning of his will. There's no quarreling with his will. This is a necessity for rest to anyone being in the will of God. Don't you think a lot of people today are in a state of unrest because they just don't want to do the will of God? They've heard it preached. They've heard it taught. They've heard it witnessed. They know what God says on the matter. I just don't want to do that. Well, you're going to be shot at any way you go. But I'd rather be shot at in his will, hadn't you? I might just have enough of a shield out there to protect me from that fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen. That's number one. Number two. Let's rely on the finished work of Christ. Now, I've read this verse already. In verse 9, he writes, he also hath ceased from his own works, no more to be done. John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. That's one word, they tell me. They tell me it's a picture word of an artist. He's been working and working and working on a painting. He's painted, or a painter, artist, picture, whatever, and he's working on that. He backs up, he looks at it, need a touch up here, need a touch up here. He backs, he keeps looking until finally he steps up there and he realizes it just needs one more touch. And he touches it, he lays his paintbrush down, and he says that Greek word. I'm afraid I'd mispronounce it. It starts with a T, I'll tell you that. But anyway, he lays that brush down, stands back, and says that word that means that Christ quoted from the cross, it is finished. And Pastor, I was looking at a man's work today, and he said that means it is paid. So thank God you and I don't have any more debt that we are to pay. You see, one cannot open the door to heaven any farther. And one cannot destroy the works of the devil any further. One can't make the forgiveness of God any finer. And one can't cause the pardon of sin to be any fuller. You see, he's finished it. He's done it all. And now all you and I have to do is approach God in behalf of what he did in my and your behalf. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Number three, we recline in our great high priest's care. Boy, chapter 4 and verse 15, right on down from where we finished reading our text. Man, what a statement. How I've prayed this so many times when we've been at the graveside. We've just been called. Someone's died. We go into their home. What are you going to say? And I've prayed this so many times. That word infirmities means weaknesses, inadequacies, inabilities. God's not impressed with our strengths, but our weaknesses. This fellow that gets up there and tells all he's going to preach and all he's done, where he's been, he's about on his own. But that little preacher gets down by his desk or in the prayer closet and says, "Oh God, if you don't help me tonight, I know there's a need. I don't know what that need is. I don't know how to approach it, Lord. You can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." I'm glad he can be. Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Is it a care? Cast it on him. His shoulders are large enough to carry my and your burden. The psalmist said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." We sing that song sometime, like John the Beloved and Blessed. On Jesus' strong arm, safe and secure from all harm. I'm glad we have a great high priest. Sometimes your situation may seem like a catastrophic flood. Sometimes like a constant irritation. But it must not disturb that peaceful rest. He whispers when all these... have you ever heard his voice? Have you ever been to a place? And I remember on occasion, Pastor, I ran hard as I could to my study and slid on my knees under my chair. And I said, "God, if you don't help me, I meant it. God, if you don't help me, I am done." The devil had whispered something in my ear. I'm telling you. And I ran. I said, "God, please, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm finished." And it's almost just like he said, "Rest, my child." And that's what he says when the storms around you are raging. And when you can't see the way. I'm glad he's got something to say to you and I. He's promised to provide all our needs. Amen. Hasn't he kept his word? He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Has he not kept his word? Absolutely. Let us four times in this chapter. We find it. I believe it was J. Vernon McGee said, I call this the lettuce, the salad chapter. Said four times we find the word lettuce in here. That's some of his humor. Let us, four times, let us take our burdens to the Lord. Let us trust him to do what is right. And let us touch him. And let us triumph through him. We have a great high priest. Now, look at the last one. Number four, we respond to the shepherd's leading. And all the way over in chapter 13, we read verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I call your attention to that great shepherd of the sheep. He is the leader. We are the followers. He is the tender. We are the recipients. He is the keeper. We are the protected. He is the Lord, and we are the subjects. Follow His leading. You know what? I can report to you tonight, He's never misled one of His sheep. He's never made one mistake about anything He has asked us to do. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Obscurity may shade our path. Calamity may slow our progress. And hostility may shake our perception. However, we can remember some things. Number one, there is an unseen hand to those about us, guiding us through the shadows. I almost, Pastor, feel like sometimes somebody says, I just can't see that. God's directing you in a way. I just can't see it. I almost want to say, you're not supposed to see it. I don't want to be sarcastic, but I almost want to say that. You're not supposed to see it. There's an unheard voice to those around us comforting us through the storm. There's nothing. You can run to all of your peers. You can run to those whom you would consider to be an echelon or two above the spiritual. You can run to all of them. But there's nothing like His voice. Just a word. His uncle, Bill Harvey, I never will forget what he said many years ago in the Oak Ridge Hospital. I had gone to visit one of the members of your family, and he had come in. And here's what he said. He said, Brother Jones, I'd rather have one word from the Lord as 10,000 from men. I never thought much about that. But you remember on resurrection morning when the news had spread back that Christ had risen from the dead, and the disciples came, looked in, saw an empty tomb, turned around, and went back. But there was a woman stayed there, Mary Magdalene. And she heard a noise behind her and thought that to be the gardener. And she said, Sir, tell me where thou hast borne him hence, that I may take him up again. In other words, where did you put him? Just tell me now, I'll go take him up. Jesus said one word. Mary, that's all He said. He didn't say, don't you know who I am? All He said is, Mary. And her whole shattered world came back together. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been in the darkest storm of your life, and you just wondered if the sun was ever going to shine again, the winds are howling, and the ship is rocking, it's darkness all around. Boy, just a word. Your niece that just died recently painted me something. And we were going in a storm. I never even caught the significance of it until we were out of the storm. But she sent me a ship with all the sails unfurled, sailing, and the winds were blowing, and you could see the water white capping and all, and it was dark all around. And when I came through that, I looked at that picture and I said, sail on. That's what she was saying. Sail on. Amen. Just keep the boat headed in the direction you last heard from the Master you were to go. He'll be on board soon. And thank God we're going to be on board soon too when He comes again. You see, not only is there an unseen hand and an unheard voice, but there's an unseen force to those observing our daily life. And this unseen force that they can't realize just accompanies us through all the conflicts that we're going to face in our life. He is with us. Amen. He loves us. He's made a way. I bless His name. Now, I want to ask you tonight, that rest is available for all of us, and we can get there. And I'm not implying that there's a person in this building who is not in that place. I really am not. I just give you what I feel the Lord want, what I know the Lord want me to say. So we'll stand together. Pastor, is it customary? All right, we'll have a number. Maybe there's a burden, a trouble, and that you want to come to talk to the Lord about. And I've not preached to the lost at all, but there might be someone here tonight who's not even saved. Everybody goes through storms, but what a blessing it is to have someone with you through all of them who knows the way and who has fought back the storms and who has come out victorious on the other side. I'm telling you, Jesus is real. And what I'm telling you is real. You can have, amen, rest. Resign yourself to the will of God. Whatever it is, maybe God is speaking to your heart about something He wants you to do. You've been reluctant to do it. I'm going to tell you, you'll never have peace. You'll never know that rest till you resign yourself to that will, whatever it might be. Do that. Resign to the will. That's where it all starts, right there, to the will of God. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us tonight to open the book. And thank you, Lord, for the truths. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you've given me. And I pray, Lord, for this church. I pray for everyone who's here. You know what our needs are tonight. I pray you'll minister to them for your glory and your honor. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Brother Allen.